Let me say welcome to everybody, to those who have been with us before, and to those of us who are new.
Clara.
This show is primarily going to be dedicated to our researcher today, who had attended the Morgellons Conference and came home with a lot of good information and more hope than before. And, I think I'm going to let him talk. But before I do, let me introduce everybody. John, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. John is one of my mentors and been with me since I was very, very ill, and has stayed with me throughout this whole thing and has been a pillar to the Morgellons community, although he does not have the disease. Pat, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Pat joined us about 14 or so months ago. Pat is a researcher, a Morgellons sufferer, as well as a few other immune deficiency diseases going on at the same time, but has been healing on a parallel protocol to mine, and therefore came to us a year to 14 months ago and wanted to join the team, and is, again, a welcome addition, because between John and Pat, I get a little smarter. So, Pat, this is your show. John, you have anything to say in the opening?
No, just glad to be here, and I look forward to hearing Pat's thoughts on what he learned at the conference.
Patty, without any further ado, and folks, we'll handle all questions that you have at the end of the show, as we always do. But let's let Pat bring this information to us. God bless and welcome to all.
Mel asked me how the 4th Annual Scientific Medical Conference on Morgellons, put on by the Holman Foundation, was.
Okay, Pat, how was it?
It was wonderful.
Okay, and why do you feel that way?
Well, they had a panel of speakers that is just phenomenal. They had Rhonda Casey, she's a DO, and she is...
Hey, what's a DO?
A doctor of osteopathy.
Okay, thanks. Let's make sure we can make as much clear for everyone as possible. Go ahead.
It's a degree that's roughly equivalent to an MD's, medical doctor, and they can be licensed to do the same thing and have the same rights and privileges. She and Dr. Randy Wymore, PhD, wrote the letter to practitioners that we have in our recommended that you take to your doctor. And I was especially happy that I got to personally thank Dr. Casey and Dr. Wymore for their letter and how much relief it has brought, because it's the difference between being treated rudely and unprofessionally and being treated like a real person with respect by a physician. And it was just wonderful. And I got to do that in front of everyone that was there. And so it was just wonderful. She was the first to present, and she talked a little bit about looking at patients and finding that they actually did have a pathology and finding fibers under their skin. And I think that alone should identify it as being a real disease with a real cause. It's just an unknown cause and not a delusion. And then we also had Dr. Carsten Nicholas. He is an MD, PhD.
Speak up, Pat.
Okay, I lost my mic. He's a MD, PhD out of Germany, and his specialty is treating tick-borne diseases. And then we had Dr. Ginger Saverly. She has a doctorate in nursing practice and is a PN.
Ashley.
Then keep going, Pat.
We had a Dr. Gregory Smith, MD, and he has Morgellons, and he was there, and many know about him. Emily Vandegrift, master's degree, works with Dr. Wymore, and she's joined the research team of Professor Wymore at the Center for Investigation of Morgellons Disease, January 2011, and she brings with her the fresh eagerness of a new graduate plus skills of an experienced forensic scientist. An added advantage for Morgellons researcher is the grand opening in November 2010 of the forensic
science. Robin.
Biomedical.
Yeah, you have to speak up, Pat.
And biomedical research facility, which is housed at OSU Center of Health Services. Dr. Amelia Withington, M.D.
Wait, let me stop you here for a second, Pat. You were telling me that this young lady was going to bring new equipment that was going to make it easier for them to start to identify the problem. Was that correct?
Absolutely.
All right, could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Let me go through the presenters first, and then I'll get back to them individually, the ones that I want to highlight.
Okay. Sorry.
Dr. Withington is a MD and a board certified in psychiatry and neurology. Randy Wymore, of course, we've already mentioned him, PhD, and he's a professor of physiology and pharmacology at Oklahoma State University. And then Cliff Mickelson presented a musical interlude. And then last, and not really presenting, but in the foyer outside so that you could slip out and visit with him was David Gibbs, and he's a Social Security specialist, disability claims professional at Texas, experienced and successful disability representation for Morgellons and Lyme disease.
Oh, wow.
I did get his contact information because I know so many people have wanted to know how they can get help for their disease because it is so debilitating that many people are unable to work. Okay, now we'll get back to the first person that I wanted to highlight was Dr. Carsten Nicholas, MD, PhD from Germany. He went through a lot of what he does in treating a tick-borne disease. And what he uses both herbs, conventional medicine, and he uses a holistic approach. And as he went through some of the different components of a treatment that of his treatment protocol, I was struck how much it reminded me of Mel's protocol with the nutritional support that's been provided by a lot of John Bergsteiner's products and the, just the balanced use and the holistic approach to Mel's protocol. And I was wishing so much that John could have been there so that John could have had a chance to visit with him because I think they would have found an awful lot to talk about. And, I did not have an opportunity to visit with him directly.
So are you saying that there's a doctor in Germany who's using a similar approach from the point of the vitamin part of our protocol?
Yeah, it's a holistic approach. Instead of simply treating one disease and letting the rest of you fall apart by giving you antibiotics and not addressing the adverse effects that they may have, he uses a holistic approach where he looks out for any adverse effects that may be caused by his protocols and also his, treats you for those or gives you nutritional support or to keep you from suffering adverse effects from the drugs that may be treated. And it's a holistic approach, and it's used primarily by alternative medicine people.
Well, you know, I've been yelled at point in time and told that I'm as stubborn as a German. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, with a name like you got, Mel, I wonder why.
All right, well, that's kind of nice to know that someone on the other side is got some of the parts working. That's kind of exciting for me, Pat. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. And then Dr. Gregory Smith, he's a pediatrician. He and his wife both have Morgellons. And he got to talk to us a little bit about being diagnosed with delusion of parasitosis, because it appears to me that most of the people who get hung with the delusions of parasitosis diagnosis tend to be much more healthcare professionals, and it's almost like that they're trying to be beaten back into line for descending, and you don't do that. Well, he is really upset about that as a diagnosis, and he got to rant and rave a little bit about that, and it was interesting. And after you get done listening to him, you have a much better understanding of why the delusion to parasitosis is not an appropriate diagnosis. And then we're getting down to the light at the end of the tunnel. We have Randy Wymore. Randy Wymore is a kind, thoughtful academic. He's the kind of a person I always wanted to get when I was going to college as a college professor.
Speak up, Pat.
Someone who was excited about learning and interested in what he was doing and just trying to cover all of the bases and help everyone understand what he was doing. He told us about how he was carefully selecting specialty labs to do some of the things that they didn't have the equipment to do, and to look into the some of the fibers and some of the other aspects of the disease. And then he also has hired a doctor, Miss Emily Vandegrift, and she has a master's degree. And along with that, she has the ability to use the advanced DNA analysis equipment, and they can now do shotgun. As Dr. Wymore explained it, in his old outdated methods, it took not only a very long time, but they also had to guess in advance what the organism was that they were trying to identify and then try to match up the DNA. And with the new shotgun method and some of the new equipment, not only is the analysis faster, but it also, they can, the computers will search databases of all of the known DNA that has been sequenced and try to find matches. And so you can find a very accurate match oftentimes for unknown DNA. And you can do plants, animals, and basically anything that has been that the DNA has been sequenced on. And so where they were shooting in the dark before, now they're using a gun that covers everything out there. And so we should start having, they should start having better luck identifying if there's any biological organisms out there. The non-speaker, David Gibbs, I did get his contact information, and I'll be getting Mel with that. And I think that that'll be a real help to some of us out there.
Okay, now, is that the gentleman who helps people file for disability claims?
That is correct.
Why don't you talk a little bit about him and go ahead and give all that information now, because then we'll have it recorded as well.
Okay.
I mean, you were pretty excited about him when you came back and talked to me.
Yeah, I was. You caught me off guard, Mel. I do not have his information available right now, and I have not talked to him at any length. What I did was I slipped out, and I got his card, and then I slipped back in. And so I haven't really talked to him, but I just wanted everyone to know that I have the information. And we're going to get in contact with him and see if we can pave the way for some people to have an easier time on disability.
After you make communication and he goes, okay, we can put a post on the forum?
Absolutely.
Okay. What else would you like to tell us about then, Pat?
Oh, just what a neat experience it was.
And why do you feel it was a neat experience?
Well, Mel, you know how they say you can never go home again?
Yeah, I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah. Well, when I showed up down there, there were a bunch of people that I didn't know. And the interesting thing was that we all had the same thing in common, whether we were a Morgellon sufferer, a presenter, or both. And as a result, when you get in a group like that, it's so much like getting back together with old friends that you have lost track of, because immediately you're on the same level, you're on the same wavelength, and you could actually talk to the people that were the presenters, physicians, and you didn't have the barrier like you do in a doctor-patient relationship. They had a common interest with you. You were both talking on the same level. And it was just the neatest experience that I've ever had like that.
John, do you have anything that you'd like to say before we field questions?
Well, only that it only makes sense that, if the more people that get behind the protocol that worked for you and is working for others, and the more research that's done on it, the more it's just going to be validated, because it has to be. It's covering all the bases and dealing with the underlying causes that set the stage, or set the environment favorable for Morgellons to happen.
Yeah. There's a link to a little blurb about some of the presenters, and in that it says some individuals with Morgellons have been helped by a variety of antibiotic, antifungal, and antihelminthic therapies, while others have had a minimal favorable response. And I elected not to go the antihelminth route, and I could have probably gone that with a physician who prescribed anti-helminths, but I elected not to. And my own personal experience with it is 3.5 years ago, I was so sick I thought I was going to die, and so did some of my relatives. A year ago, I was unable to attend the conference because I was still too sick, although I was recovering a lot compared to what I had been. This year, I was able to make a 13-hour drive by myself, and I nonstop the trip both ways. And I'm recovering a whole lot. When I got back home, I didn't have much of a crash. Didn't really come down and crash for about 2 or 3 days. And then I was only had to really rest up for about a week. I know that there are others that have Morgellons that still, that it took them 3-4 weeks and may still not have recovered fully from the stress of the trip. And I attribute that to the protocol that I'm taking and the MMS. And I think that if I had seen more people there and gotten to talk to more people about the what protocol they were on, I could have gotten a better idea of how well MMS works compared to the other protocols out there that include the antibiotics, and a lot of those are IV antibiotics, and it's incredibly expensive. And the anti-helminths and antifungals, and also some of those can be quite toxic and really not something that I wanted, not a route I wanted to go.
When you come away from the conference and you think back and you think about what's happening now since the conference, which may aid in the hastening of a better understanding of the disease, what would you like to say about that?
Well, I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay. It seems to me that it looks like that some of the factions are merging to order to achieve an end goal of bringing this to light.
I hope so, because there's been enough division in the Morgellons community, people trying to carve out their own little area. And all I'm interested in is that I get better and that everybody else with Morgellons can get better. And I don't want any financial gain from it. I just want to get better myself, make the information that I found that helped me available so that other people can know what I did and follow what I did if they wish.
Yeah. Mel?
Okay. Yes?
This is Nancy in Denver, and I've got, before I go on to a 7-page list here, I just have a litany to ask you about. Did you also have Lyme?
No.
All right.
Okay, and I'm going to ask that somebody post this information on your site for us. I'm very active on the Morgellon Support Network, and we are all becoming very aggressive about helping one another and giving information. And with that report on your protocol, I want to reiterate that on that website, but I'm going to direct people to your website for the information that you're giving on this conference call. Is that agreeable with you?
Ma'am, that would be wonderful. And I think Pat could interject here, and you would find it interesting, because Pat has very specific ideas about Morgellons and Lyme. So go ahead, Pat.
Morgellons has been listed by the National Institute of Health as a Lyme-related disease.
Uh-huh.
However, the case study by the Morgellons.org and with Dr. Harvey being the lead person on that, they actually found that 92% of their subjects tested positive for chlamydia pneumonia, and about 50% were positive for Lyme disease. And it was speculated in that study that the chlamydia pneumonia was a trigger through the causing an immune deficiency response, and thereby allowing something else, as in the Morgellons pathogens, to get up and run reasonably unopposed. And I have speculated, since they're both gram-negative bacteria and they both can cause very similar arthritis, that either or both of them can do that. And, yes, if you are immunocompromised by either one, there's a real good possibility that they could be a trigger. But it's purely speculation. And until we get a much larger group, because that was a small study group,
Right. Another thing that we found is that besides Lyme, there was also the chlamydia pneumonia. There's also MRSA. Are you familiar?
Boy. Yeah.
Right. Lots of Morgellons people have both.
That's another protocol.
But we believe that this protocol will help those who have Lyme.
Okay, good.
Is that correct, Pat?
To pass on.
I read several Lyme boards, and actually I found out about MMS on a Lyme board that I was reading. And I will forever have a soft spot in my heart for people with Lyme disease because that's where
Thank
I first
you.
Found out about it.
Okay. Now, I also malaria, believe it or not, I have a naturopathic thing that I'm being used against the Babesia that is called artemisinin, and that actually is shown on the web to go against malaria.
Right. No, I actually listened to someone else's conference call this morning, and this was talked about a great deal, this new medicine. I don't know a whole lot about it, but after the weekend, Pat and I will be listening to this again together. And
good.
Since he's the head of research, I imagine he is going to find it quite fascinating and get some research for us on what you just mentioned.
Okay, can I just ask a couple of other things, and I'm going to let you guys mow all of this. Are you aware that they have found fibers in freshly fallen snow here in Colorado Springs and Colorado, as well as New York upstate? And have you done anything in terms of man's hand in this thing in terms of chemtrailing and GMO?
Okay,
and
let me say this, okay, that the focus of our website has never been who, why, where, political. That's only going
okay.
to get us in trouble. What it has
okay.
been is we think we have a way to help eradicate this problem. And
awesome.
That's what the whole focus is, because my heart sings, or cries actually, about this whole thing, because it's a combination of things. The toxicity of the planet. So many things have gone wrong. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get in trouble.
You're right. You're right, Mel. And there are just two more things.
We really believe here we have something to work.
The only
That's
people
what we
that...
want to keep preaching. I mean, people tell me I'm a broken record.
Please don't
I'm
give up, Mel. Please don't give
I
up.
Because I did something, and it worked. And all I
yeah.
want other people is to believe that if they try it and they can be diligent and they can be patient, that they can get better. Because you can.
But, yeah. In some cases, a couple of cases so far, wound clinics have been really open to this and have stepped up. Two things. There, one thing I'm concerned about for everybody is that once you visit an established doctor, all of a sudden, this diagnosis, especially if you are going to be needing a job or a security check, and this delusional parasitosis has every potential to have hit the back records of your medical record and will, in court, pop up against you. What is the knowledge of that? Is anybody encountered by one person, but I'm wondering if anybody's had the experience with this coming out after them, unbeknownst to them. I ran from two dermatologists' offices because I couldn't figure out why they were staring at me the way they were, and then later did I learn what it was about. However, I now question where this sits on our permanent medical records, you know, that back office copy that circulates through everything.
Well, quite frankly, I was very, very lucky. If you've read my story, my doc knew I wasn't delusional because we had a long, ongoing relationship in which I shared, as I learned all about holistic medicine and other ways to treat things. So she knew I wasn't crazy. We have done a few articles on the website where we've tried to address this. Is that correct, Pat?
Yeah.
So I believe if you go to our search engine feature, which is a heading that says search at the top of the page, and you put in any question, just type out a question you want answered, the search engine will bring up the information that we have to date. Also, my personal lawyer, who's been on our website a couple of times, will hear this teleconference call, and this question I'll ask him to address.
Oh, thank
maybe
you, Mel.
Maybe we can get something updated on the website. And when you ask the lawyer to do you a favor, the best you can hope for is 3 weeks.
It's okay. At least they move, Mel. More than that, you got to ask, you know.
No. The fact that he's moved by the whole thing, and he's actually donated to the cause to help pay for medicines for those who cannot afford them but do want to be on our protocol, tells me his heart is in the right place.
Oh, Mel, that's awesome. We want to, a bunch of us want to band together and organize a means by which we can reach other people as we progress through this. Maybe we can make this a concerted one-stop, you know, fits-all type thing.
More people who are willing to unite and work together, the sooner the answers will be brought to the light.
You're right, Mel. You're absolutely right. And I'm going to pass this on to the website, because right now we're going back into the scattershot situation where everybody's trying to solve it and figure it out. And, you know, we have volumes of stuff we've posted, but it takes forever for someone to dig through that. And when they're being tormented 24/7 by something like this, that's pretty hard for them to sit down and do, and you get tired of repeating it. So I'm going to focus everybody on your website.
Well, we appreciate that, ma'am, because our intent here is only to help others.
Oh,
now,
and equally, yeah.
The very interesting thing that Pat has
addressed the issue of chemtrails and fibers in the snow.
I knew
I'm
you
sorry.
Were going.
I would like to address the issue of chemtrails and fibers in the snow.
Oh, please. I'd love it.
Okay. In Dr. Wymore's presentation, he sent a sample into a lab to see if they could identify it. And it was actually from a filter on an air conditioning unit, and he had a pretty good idea what was in it. Or he showed us the blob that he sent in, and it looked all the world like Morgellons fibers, and you know, one of the Morgellons blobs that you pull out that has fibers in it, and if you look at it under a microscope, well, the lab that he sent it to, the specialty lab, was able to identify the fiber as most likely nylon. And as it turns out, the filter had nylon, was made with nylon fibers, but it took the lab using an electron microscope to find the extrusion marks on the fiber before they could actually identify what it was. Now, if we're going to find fibers in things that it takes an electron microscope to identify, we can't really say that these are Morgellons fibers just because they look like Morgellons fibers.
Uh-huh.
Fibers in our environment are absolutely ubiquitous. We have fungus that produce fibers, spiders that produce fibers, bacteria that produce fibers. You've probably even eaten fibers produced by bacteria used for food thickening. There are just all kinds of things. Plants produce all kinds of fibers. We use fibers for rope and have for thousands of years. Fibers are going to be blowing around, and they're going to get picked up in the snow and the rain and everything else, and they're not necessarily Morgellons-related fibers. They may look like Morgellons-related fibers. They may look like Morgellons fibers. Some of them may actually be a fungus that I believe is associated with Morgellons. But I don't really think that we need to fear that. And I'm not too worried about it being a designer disease, because I've had this since probably the 1960s, if not before. And that's before they had the biotechnology to make designer diseases.
Okay.
And so for me, that kind of puts some of the theories and conspiracy theories, it kind of puts a damper on those.
That's important information, and I need that kind of input anyhow. I'm out of aviation for 36 years, and I can tell the difference between con and chemtrail. And Denver's been buried, well, the Front Range has been buried under a chemical cloud all winter, and we've had no winter down on the prairie, to say the least, until it went east. So it's just kind of been, where is this coming from? What's going on? What are they doing? And is this why we're doing what we're doing? And so that helps a tremendous amount. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
I have one.
Hi, Robin.
Hello. This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How you doing? Sound just like Robin.
I have a question. You named a new medicine. What is the name of that new medicine? Hello?
Yes.
It was artemisinin.
What is it?
Mel, I believe she was talking about the artemisinin.
Oh, artemisinin. That was a that was what my osteopath, he's my naturopath, he does integrated medicine, and he's treating me. And he works in both spheres of Lyme and Morgellons. And among many things, what he gives me is artemisinin until I can take the Mepron, which is the prescription, which is, for me, about $400 with Part D Medicare. And so in the meantime, he puts me on artemisinin, and it is a little, to get it into the head where he has finally found the Lyme and the Morgellons have concentrated, is in the cranial area. And he has me mix a couple of capsules of the artemisinin into, the brain medicine, the brain herbal, powdered, here we go, brain haze here. He has me mix that along with my cemento for the Borrelia bacteria into the, oh, God, I'm sorry, guys, I apologize. And then he has me add a little grapefruit juice to kickstart the artemisinin, and it gets it past the blood-brain barrier into the head, and it does actually work. But he still wants me on the Mepron, which, again, is a high-powered antibacterial that goes after the Babesia specifically.
Okay, well, let me say that I think we have some vitamins that might work that are a lot better.
Good.
John, you want to say anything about that for the brain? Because I know that... Go ahead.
No, go finish your thought.
Well, no, I know that after you taught me how to use the vitamins properly, and you got me to take them all the way you said I should, I really started getting better, and the brain fog was one of the first things that went away.
Oh, good.
So I wanted to talk a bit about that because it's part of the protocol, and it doesn't cost $400.
Well, she's talking about a medication that has a specific effect, and, of course, the...
Right, it's an anti-malaria medicine. Is that correct?
Artemisinin on the web came up as an anti-malarial naturopath. And then the Mepron may be the same thing, but an antibiotic, but he uses it to go after Babesia.
Right. And unfortunately, though, for many people, one of the common threads that we see in people in the Morgellons community is fungal overgrowth. And the fungal overgrowth is one of the major contributors to brain fog, because the mycotoxins that are produced by the fungus, not only do they overload the liver and suppress the immune system and suppress the thyroid gland, but they also cause brain fog. And so one of the things that we did with Mel in putting him on the protocol is lower his overall fungal load, and that really helped his not only brain fog, but his overall mental outlook and his energy levels and all those things. And when you start looking at the overall population of people in the Morgellons community and looking at the things that they have in common, certainly fungal overgrowth is one, and that's something that needs to be addressed pretty much in all cases, in addition to the specific things that are found, the specific types of secondary infections and co-infections that have been found. Like in your case, I take it that they've identified that you are dealing with Babesia.
Yeah, the two that showed up were Borrelia and Babesia. I've been treated about a year for both. The Borrelia is on the wane, but the Babesia is the ugly cousin, as he calls it, that has to be attacked. The other guy didn't really pop up until cat scratch popped up, and then the Borrelia, Babesia, and the Bartonella. And until I read about Bartonella, and down there one strain of it happened to be cat scratch. So it did show up in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the interesting thing, is there, you know, different people do have different co-infections that show up. If you start looking at, you know, across the population and talking to individuals and about their particular struggle that they had, there are things that the Morgellons community suffers have in common, and then there seem to be the opportunistic infections seem to vary in some cases. Mm-hmm. It's all the bottom line. You need to restore the bioterrain so that the immune system isn't, you know, the body is not sitting duck, so to speak, you know, for all the secondary mm-hmm. infections.
Okay.
And that's what Mel's protocol is so good for.
Okay, good. And to start the protocol in the midst of all that we're doing anyhow, just start with the list that Mel put on the web then. Just go with those and start with those and start doing that. Do we need to be strength tested or anything like that to see to what degree we should be taking these things?
Well, that certainly never hurts. Kinesiology testing never hurts to get feedback from the body. But I think you'll find, if you're like most people, your body will be screaming for these things.
Yeah, good. I'm just really excited about doing it. What about Dr. Overman, Precision Herbs, his protocols? Can you speak to those?
No, I haven't spoken with him. And what I found is we add information that we find that others have found helpful. But the only way that I got better was the way I describe it.
And
so the only way I can honestly ask people to believe is to try and duplicate what I did. Okay. And it's very hard to duplicate what I did. It takes a great deal of patience. It takes a great deal of regiment. And it takes a great deal of diligence.
Okay.
But my friends call me Felix, and a lot of people call me Anal. And so that wasn't that difficult for me when I was told I was going to die.
Yeah. You know something, I think anal's a compliment with this disease. If you weren't before, you will be by the time you get through with it. So there's nothing wrong.
If you fight it and you fall into the regiment and you can stay diligent, you can get healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, worse, you can stabilize.
Yeah.
Now, how is stabilization... under what you go through when you're being tortured.
It is exactly that, Mel, and that is 24/7. And I'm going to lapse a little bit and go to Revelations 9, the seventh trumpet judgment, where they release the locusts from the pit. And I thought, my God, this is such a foreshadowing, where they're being 24/7 tormented, and it's very hard for people. And we're struggling very hard to try and help. But I'm doing it. I'm absolutely going to take your wisdom and your advice and your knowledge, and I am going to apply it. Should have done it 2 years ago, and I'm absolutely doing it. I have no compunction about doing something that works.
I'd like to ask you a question. Is it all right if I call you after the show so that we can exchange some more information?
Oh, Mel, any day of the year, yes, absolutely. Call me anytime you want, absolutely. If I can help other people as well.
303, correct? 303, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Next question.
Okay. I'm sorry, this is not a new question, but for me, again, it's, is there particular thing that really can disinfect our, like, apartment or housing environment, just something that really works the best, clean green enzymes or whatever that can be sprayed around in everywhere where it should be? I'm sorry, maybe it's a very old question, but for me it's still, you know.
Okay. Again, I never had the problem of reinfestation. And on the website, again, in the search engine, if you put clean home environment, you can get all the information that we allowed to come to the website that we felt was safe and that was helpful. You just have to spend some time typing and some time reading. Cleaning home environment in the search engine feature. brings up about 10 pages. Are there any other questions out there today?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the questions we get a lot, Mel, is Morgellons communicable? Now, you know that I've always been of the opinion that it's not communicable or not easily, if at all. And
correct.
At the end of the conference, they got all of the presenters up and had a question and answer session, and that was the consensus of the presenters at the conference, that it is not transmittable person to person easily, if at all. And that's really a big, should take a big load off everyone's mind so far as being communicable. Uh-huh. And then there was
I've always had my own thoughts on that.
I know.
And they were always that I just wouldn't want to have been around anybody else's whose immune system was compromised
right.
when I was very sick.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not going to change my mind no matter what anybody says on that. I hope I don't get angry.
No, that's fine. And then there was one other really interesting thing at the conference. There were several couples that were there where one had Morgellons and the spouse didn't. And the spouses were kind enough to come along and go to the conference. When they showed up, they were pretty much disbelieving and skeptical. But I think when they left, they had a pretty good understanding that, yeah, this is a real disease, and we've got a lot of professionals with degrees that are intelligent, well-educated people that actually do know what's going on, that are looking for this. It's not an imaginary disease. It's for real. And there was only one exception to that. There was a guy that showed up from The Guardian and wrote an article which was just absolutely horrible. And I did get to meet and speak to some of the people that he tried to discredit. And I think here in another year, maybe 2 years, that boy is going to be needing to write a retraction and an apology.
Well, talking about the saddest day in the Morgellons community this past week, and obviously I remember John saying, I can tell that you're very upset this morning. And that was the CNN report, which said all of you who are still sick are delusional, and that I was delusional. Well, I've always been delusional, always been a little bit of a nut job. But you taught me one thing, Daddy. There are three stages of something relatively unknown. And would you mind repeating that to the audience for me?
I'll hold on just a minute. I want to get this exact quote, and it'll take me just a little bit to dig that thing out. Fortunately, I'm at my computer, and I should be able to find it fairly soon.
Because it gave me hope that day that still the truth will be known. And I thought how true it is what you told me.
I found it.
Good.
All truth passes through three stages.
Say that again. What passes? Say it again.
All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. And third, it is accepted as being self-evident. Arthur Schopenhauer, 15th century German philosopher. We are in the ridiculed stage and a violently opposed stage right now. Soon, it will be accepted as being self-evident as a disease with a biological cause.
Wow.
On that note, I want to say, Robin, are you out there?
I'm here, Mel. Can you hear me?
How's your mama?
Oh, she's got sores on her forehead.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
How's she doing? Is she okay?
Yeah, she's doing good. You know, I'll come home from work and tell her how I felt like I've been getting bit by gnats all day on my face and, you know, the little needle sticks and whatnot. But she doesn't get that, but she gets sores. But she is in a much later phase of this. You know, I know you guys were talking about, is it contagious? Well, I was in Florida, and my mom was complaining to me on the phone about all these bugs crawling on her, and I invited her to Florida and hung out with her closely for 6 weeks. Never got it. I thought she was DOP. And but then when I slept in her bed after she left, which is her, my guest bed, I got a bit. Something bit me or something. But anyway, I ended up with it too. And I've heard of people who have gotten this, not from other people, but from hotel rooms. And one of the girls that used to post a lot on the site got it from a hotel room in Jamaica. So I think, whatever, it has a lot to do with the thing living in the cotton, personally, but I can't be sure. So,
what you described, it sounds an awful lot like bird mites.
You know something, Mel?
Bird mites leave
it
very similar to the Morgellon sores. And bird mites are so tiny of a mite, they're almost impossible to find. I've
How
got a friend of mine that's been fighting bird mites for about 2 years, and he actually thought he was going insane for a couple of years. And we compare notes about bird mites versus Morgellons, and there are subtle differences. And
yes, I get some fuzz on me. I get the little black specks that are all just a fiber. And I've had the one moving fiber that Cliff Mickelson claims he had, where you hold it in your hand and you can see it turn up and down and then try to make a U-turn back into your skin. And I had a witness for that one, my boyfriend. You met him, Pat. You met him at the conference. We were talking to you about the MMS, and he doesn't have Morgellons, and I've been with him since this started. So.
Yep. My wife.
I've seen your immune system is strong. You will not contract it from someone who was sick. I believe if one reason or another your immune system was compromised, then you are capable of getting it from someone else. That's all.
Or from their bed.
Somehow I feel, Robin, that when you got it from Mama, something else happened with you, something else was going on, but your immune system was not at full strength.
Yep.
Oh, I totally agree with you about the immune system.
Yep.
So, I mean, I could go into detail, but that would take a while.
All right. Well, I know you were here and you know that I adore you and your Mama, I just wanted to say hey.
The stress was unbelievable when I caught this. My, you know, huge amount of stress. But I just want to say that this is not bird mites, you know, leaving sand in my bed and whatnot. So, granules. I've had all those
processes. The tiny white granules.
Tiny white little granules. I've had fiber balls. I put one under the microscope once, and it was a little brown ball with the red and the blue thread wrapped around it. And my boyfriend even said, hey, let's burn it. And we put a lighter to it and held the flame on it for quite a while. Well, it didn't go to ash. We put it back under the microscope, and it was just black threads. You know, if it was any kind of material, it would have went to ash. But it was, you know, I mentioned it to Randy Weimer, because he, you know, it's his thing, and burning these fibers. And he said he'd be happy to, he wanted me to send him samples. I guess they're hurting for samples, people,
you've got to
analyze or whatever.
You've got to be joking.
She's not joking.
People, you know, let's face it.
People are screaming to find a lab to test things.
He said if you put your sample between two slides and put it in a lock top baggie, you know, seal it good, that he'd be happy to get the samples, you know.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was having all kinds of stuff coming out of me, but then I don't get so much anymore since I've been on to treatment from an integrative medicine Lyme doctor. But I still have this because there's always a lot of crawling, which is like somebody placed a little electrical probe to my skin. Crawling goes on all the time. My hair stands up all together and then does the wave, you know. You feel like something's crawling through your head. And I'm always in a bad place, you know. Something pops off me, you know. I'll feel a stick, you know, like a pinprick, and then I'll get the grain or the granule or the black speck, which is just fibers if you put it under a microscope. And I'm never in a situation to say, okay, excuse me, everybody, I got to go, you know, to cure this in two slides, you know. I mean, I could be at work,
you
whatever.
You can't do that, yeah, in the middle of the,
I just toss it into the
rush hour.
Right.
Robin, do me a favor and say hello for you, to your mother for me.
I sure will now.
Okay, and...
Nice. Pat. Hey, Pat, do you remember talking to me?
I sure do.
We hey,
were
talking
just now.
We were
I didn't know
in
I
the,
chime in.
The coffee
like,
room when the...
Raise my hand or something. But you started telling me something about MMS because I made a stupid comment about it being, you know... And so I so wished I just, like, either took notes or recorded that. If you could just do a little blog on that one more time about, like, what it, you know, like what you were telling me that day, okay?
Oh, MMS is an oxidative therapy. And it, along with a bunch of others, most of your antimalarials are actually oxidative therapies. And it is a has a long residual in the body, and it's works very well. I attribute my still being here to my taking MMS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait a minute, Patty. You attribute to being alive today by taking MMS.
Yeah, I don't think I really don't think I'd still be here if I hadn't started.
Okay, was that the first and probably the only thing you ever and I agreed upon?
Probably was one of the. It was probably the first, but it hasn't been the only.
Okay, but I mean, we both really believe that if it wasn't for MMS, we wouldn't be here. And yet, we know that there are so many people out there who are afraid of this product. Mm-hmm. But it is my belief that if it's taken properly, that it is no more harmful than any prescription drug.
Since I've taken a lot of prescription drugs for a very long period of time, and I tend to research all of those, it is less harmful than virtually all of the prescription drugs that I have taken.
Okay, so finally we have some clarity, ladies and gentlemen, and it will be in the conference call archives, because both Pat and I came together because of the belief in MMS. And unfortunately, we believe the only way to eradicate Morgellons at this point in time is with MMS.
Okay.
It's the only way I know for sure that actually works. Now, some people have gotten benefit from the antibiotic, antifungal, and anti-helminth therapies, while others have had just a minimal response to it. And from, you know, Mel... The people that he's talked to, and he's talked to a lot more than I have, about everybody has had a favorable response, except those that got too aggressive with it, or got in a hurry, or got disillusioned by it, and decided to go off and try something else.
Mm-hmm. That happens with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. You know,
that happens with about everybody because they get so desperate, they start dance. I run into this on Support Network. They are dancing around, you know, they're all trying stabs at all different things.
Trying everything. They think it's going to be a two-week course of antibiotics at the most, and it just doesn't work. I've been taking MMS for 3.5 years.
Are you taking the protocol, MMS protocol from Mel?
I'm taking my own protocol.
A gentler approach.
I'm taking my own protocol. I take a lower dose of MMS than most people do, and I have so many food allergies and everything else that when I went to the conference, I carried everything I ate with me.
Oh, good.
I don't dare eat anything else. It could cause a fatal reaction.
You know, I just want to interject something here. I'm sorry, Mel. I don't want to do this to get you in trouble. Trust me, but we just had on Channel 6 PBS. They're the only ones I've ever found that will do something controversial on occasion. But they just did the hour-long presentation on GMOs with Jeffrey Smith, and it was riveting. You mentioned cotton, and oh, boy. Did that ever pop to the top? And wasn't that interesting? And the people in India that have been working in, I hate to say it, Monsanto's cotton fields are all flooding the clinics with rashes on their body, big, nasty rashes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of many things that they're finding as a result of GMO cotton, and it is all kind of coming in from there, I think, at this point anyhow, for the most part, cotton balls. So that is, it just struck me when you said that.
I started reading about cotton in 2006 when I was really sick.
Oh, boy.
Okay, but when they told me I was going to die, I started focusing on getting better and finding something else and forgetting about the cotton for a while. Whether it was true or not, it sure wasn't going to help me get better.
No, reading it might now.
Here's one for you to think about. I wear almost entirely 100% cotton.
Wise guy. I'd like to say this 303. Can you tell me your first name again?
Nancy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
okay.
I understand. No problem.
Okay, so now I want to say, are there any more questions today? Okay, I'm going to close out by saying in about 5 or 6 weeks, I'm going to be going in for a hip replacement. And we're going to try to squeeze one more show in before I go. And I want to thank you all for coming. And, Nancy, I took down your number. I'll be calling you just to talk for a brief minute.
Okay.
And I'd like to say, John, I'm going to ask you if there's anything you'd like to say in closing today.
Well, I'd like to thank Pat for his diligence in preparing his remarks for today. And sharing the light and the hope that so many are so desperately needing. And I'd like to thank Nancy too. You're a bright light as well, and look forward to getting to know you better. And I just encourage everyone to just continue to move forward, looking on and looking up, because there is light at the end of the tunnel and there is hope. And it's just an honor to be here and be a part of what's going on.
Thank you. God bless. And thanks, guys. Every one of you have been just gifts.
Pat, do you want to say anything in the closing?
I had a wonderful time at the Morgellons Conference in April, and I've been looking forward to going to the next one. I'll be healthier, and we'll know more when we go there.
And I'll meet you there, Pat.
I hope to see everybody there, and yeah, I'll see you there again, Robin, and I'll be in
I
better
like
shape
too.
Tonight. I've got less lesions now than when I was there.
Oh, good.
I just want to say, is Deborah out there today? Deborah, are you with us? I'm kind of sorry about that. I would like to say in closing, thanks for everybody. Thanks, Pat, for the great effort. Thanks, John, for not only being a great help but being a great friend. And thank you for all who attended, and God bless you all.
And God bless you. Thank you all.
You all.